This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin, Corey Majors, the famous Mike Bassick, all holding it down at Surprise Stadium for Rangers spring training. And then back in the studio in the DFW, the more famous Sir Alec Medford. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. How we doing?
I'm doing good today, Kevin. Guess what I learned whenever I walked in this morning?
That Jacob DeGrom would not do an interview with
Jacob DeGrom doesn't do interviews with us, guys.
That's right.
3 years in a row now. I told Kevin in 877-881-1053, how many times do you ask a girl out before saying, you know what, I'm done? Because 2 years in a row, I'd ask DeGrom if he'd talk. First year, he was like, don't look at me. Second year, he was like, I'm in the middle of playing Call of Duty on my phone right now. And it was very dismissive. And listen, I'm fine with the pitcher. I told my kid last night. I said, he was like, Dad, I'm just really glad that you get to meet all these people. It's really cool. And I said, you know, whenever I set out to do this job, when I was dreaming of doing this kind of job, I was like, that was part of it. Getting to meet some of these stars, getting to work with a Mike Bassick, you know?
It's the last Wednesday you're ever going
to
see me.
Yeah, well, no, it's not. Because I'm going to find you on another Wednesday just to prove you wrong. But the, you know, I told him, I said, look, there are a lot of quality people we get to run across in this business. We've gotten to talk to some awesome people. Every once in a while, you get a grade A butthole, right? You know, you get like a Roy Williams that you're just like, you didn't have to treat me like that.
Which
dude.
Roy?
The defensive.
He was my favorite player, and then he turned out to not be great. And I'm not saying that about DeGrom. Win me a World Series, bro. Like, it's perfectly fine. Go out there and pitch. I understand he had to deal with New York media. It's different. But he isn't doing it yet. But go out there and pitch, man. Go be an ace. Go do that. Avery did ask me, though, who's been your favorite one? I said, it's always Bochy. Anytime we get a chance to talk to Bochy. But no, Kevin, what I found out this morning is that this stadium right here is the best place to watch a spring training game, according to the Phoenix Sun-Times.
Oh.
Yeah.
Really?
Whatever the newspaper is down there. Yeah, there's a sign downstairs that says, best place to catch a spring training game. And I was like, yeah, it absolutely is a gorgeous stadium. So we're lucky, guys. We're very lucky.
I do like this stadium.
All right, I'm done for the day.
Okay, well,
I'm talking in.
I hope you keep talking.
Talking to do because this segment
because
is
Mike
you.
Is not going to participate in the rest of this segment because last night we got all things from the Luka Maverick showdown. Let's go to cut number one and the 1 3-pointer that Luka made last night.
Things could get real spicy here throughout this game as Doncic rips another one and immediately turns to the Mavericks bench.
Awesome.
Now, it's interesting that he said another one because, again, that was the one of only – that was the only three-pointer he made of the robust 1-for-7 shooting from beyond the arc last night. Did it make you – that's right. Look, man,
That's Kevin being grumpy because he lost his bet.
Okay. No, I mean, that's probably true.
Lost his, but like, what do you call it, game or something?
Let's go to his play.
Let's go to Mike Curtis and what happens potentially when you write a headline before the game happens. Luka Doncic reminds Mavericks of his generational talent in statement win over old team. They were 9-point favorites, and he shot 6-for-17 from the field. I know. He had a triple-double, and that is tremendous.
That's what he does.
But, man, he had a struggle bus night after the first quarter and shooting all night. So, like, I don't know if I would say generational play. I mean, he's a generational talent, but in statement win, you're 9-point favorites, and the game was tied with five minutes left.
I didn't watch, Corey. How did Max Christie and Anthony Davis do?
Anthony Davis is not playing. He had a nice coat on and some shades.
Oh, sweet.
He has played more games than Luka this year, and more games than Luka the last 3 years, though.
Max Christie, he had his moments last night. Luka,
just telling you the facts.
They still won the game, and that stinks. I still think if the Mavericks had any of the bigs, they win that game last night. PJ's running up court with the ball, and they know that he's not a point guard. Even though the Mavericks are trying to force him to be a point guard and work down in the block and work inside out. That didn't work last night for them. Kai wasn't on fire to start the game. Later, he continued to get his as things went along throughout the night. There just needed to be more rebounding in that game. Those second chance opportunities destroyed the Mavericks.
Agree.
And they just couldn't keep up with that. So again, having a big is going to be a huge deal. But I definitely expected a lot more out of Luka.
I did too.
Watching him in the pregame last night, I saw the focus. Mike, I know like you complained a lot about his childish antics before games around here. And last night, he was very focused. He looked very locked in his shoot-around and everything. So I was like, oh, man, this dude's about to turn it on. I expected a revenge game like we'd never seen before. And we got a casual game, which Kai says it's still LeBron and Luka trying to figure each other out, trying to figure out what their roles are together. They get the win. Luka has an okay game. Nothing like we've seen on those big Magic nights before, though.
The first quarter was really interesting because you got the whole Luka experience. He scored, I believe, 8 straight points for the Lakers until they took one of the threes off the board because they said that he had stepped out of bounds. And then you got the technical like 2.5 minutes in, and if anyone were to have put money on that last night, 6-1 on your money. It took 2.5 minutes, and like he didn't get the foul. The ball was about to go the other way. He stopped, turned around, jawed at the ref, and the ref's like, you know what? I'm going to set the tone.
Oh no, yeah, like, that was as Luka as it gets,
yeah.
Right? As soon as he felt like, and he did, look, man, he got wrecked a little bit on that play. I'll be honest. That wasn't a clean one, in my opinion. But he did turn around, just like typical, gave up on everything else in the world that was going on. That's when I thought the Mavs had a chance. Because at that moment, we discussed that yesterday. They knew what they could do to irritate him. They knew all we got to do is get him out of his game just a little bit, get him arguing with the refs, and we can get in on this game. They tried it, and just didn't work for the rest of the game.
I had so many text messages from friends in the first quarter, and I was like, I'm not watching.
Do you ignore the text, or did you respond to them?
I responded to Mike Adams because he was listening yesterday about the 6-1 on the technical foul. And
Gosh.
I mean, I think, Corey, were you the one who texted group text on the tech?
Probably.
Yeah.
And then.
And then Mike Adams text, and I was just like, I was like, oh, wow. But I'm like, to Mike Adams, other people, I'm like, look, I'm not watching. But my dad was like, I'm rooting for the Lakers for the first time in my life.
Was that shocking to you?
Yeah, because he was the one who instilled Laker hate in me. And then obviously it was pretty easy to hate the Lakers if, most people listening weren't alive in the 80s. But in the 1980s, there were 10 times you could make the NBA Finals in the West. And the Lakers made it 7 out of the 10 times. Houston twice and Portland in 89. So you just look at it. They dominated, they beat the Mavericks a couple times in the playoffs, 88 in the Western Conference Finals. I can't root for the Lakers. I'm not against Luka. I saw all his faults, all his immature situations, but I can't root for him on the Lakers.
Yeah.
I don't hate Luka. I hate the Lakers.
Man, I think the best, because this game actually turned out to be really competitive. It was tied with about 5 minutes to go, and obviously at the end, LeBron took over and the Lakers won the game. Maybe my favorite part of the entire thing was the commercial, I think, right before the game, when they showed the 77 switch out from a Texas license plate to a California license plate, and then they played All My Exes Live in Texas. Thought that was some really top-notch work they did there.
Yeah, that was Jumpman, Jordan Brand, that did that.
That car looks awesome.
I believe they parked that out in front of the stadium yesterday, or the arena, and also, didn't they, like, Jumpman Jordan bought a parking lot and gave free parking to Lakers fans.
Which is amazing.
They were like, hey, man, let's get everybody on Luka's side on this one. And that was the thing that I was trying to watch and observe the most last night, was the interaction between Luka and the players on the Mavericks teams. Because when he made that three, Kevin, and then looked at their bench, I was like, oh, hold on. What did those players, is he not friends with the players? Are they talking trash about him now and he's hearing about it? Did they talk trash about him before and now he's starting to hear about what was going on behind the scenes? Or is that just how he is? Because I wanted to see if there was still a friendship between them, or if whenever he hits the court and whenever the Mavericks hit the court too, are they just, you know, bitter rivals and enemies from now on? And I didn't know exactly how to see that or feel that, because he's always been so happy-go-lucky. Last night was definitely a different type of perspective from him. But I wanted to see how they responded, how they interacted with each other.
Man, if I was a fan, I would be super pumped about free parking. I don't know what it is.
Parking's expensive.
It's parking and shipping, right, that just beats people down, and which makes no sense, right? Because if you're like, hey, I got a premium ticket for this game, I spent $400, and they're like, now parking is $60. You're like, outrageous. And you're like, well, you just spent all of that money. It's parking and shipping. Like, have you seen the meme where it says $50 plus $10 shipping, and the person's like, and it says $60 in free shipping, and you're like, yeah, even though it's the exact
just
same
give me
price.
Free shipping, and I'm all right. Yeah, I'm okay with it.
Absolutely.
Isn't that how Amazon got us?
Now, it is. It really is. So I know we talked about this a little bit with Dawson yesterday, but I think this is a concern that I have.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy!
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapper jacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
And I'm sure that the rest of the NBA has sources close to Luka say, quote, a beast was awakened inside of him after leaks from the Mavs disparaging his weight and conditioning were released. And you've seen all kinds of like information trickle out. And I have no doubt that the Mavericks have had a hand in letting some of that information leak out. But the most concerning thing that could happen to the rest of the league is Luka being in prime time, top physical shape at all points, whether that's a LeBron-guided thing or whether it's guided by him being mad at the Mavericks. That is a terrifying prospect because he made 2 Western Conference Finals and an NBA Finals and 5-time all-first-team NBA already with people being like, I don't know if he's in the best shape.
Yeah, maybe the revenge tour isn't just against the Mavs. Maybe he takes it out on the rest of the league. Now, looking at him last night, he didn't look any different. You know, like some people were trying to show me different pictures of, he looks so much thinner. And I was like, I think he's wearing like a really tight tank top underneath that jersey, right? Because I did see in his pregame workout, you could see that tight like compression tank top that he had on. I was like, he looks kind of the
same. What do they call those fat shirts that suck everything in?
Spanx?
Yeah, Spanx. He's wearing a Spanx.
Yeah, maybe it was a Spanx shirt.
Maybe.
He's in L.A., dude, so maybe they got all sorts of stuff out there.
Are you saying there's like a lot of pressure on him body-wise?
You got to look good in L.A., dude. Everybody knows that.
Okay. Huh.
Otherwise, they start shaming you and you don't get any roles in the movies.
Okay, well, I don't think he's hoping for that or anything.
You don't think Luka would love to be in a movie?
No, I don't think he does.
Yeah, I don't think I do either. Do
I mean,
you?
LeBron, yeah, he wants to be in all the movies.
That's fair. Now, let's go to cut number 7. If you can't make this out, I think you will be able to, and it's a short clip. I saw it from Grant Afseth. People chanting in the arena, thank you, Nico. And I appreciate what a clever chant that is. It makes me sad as a Mavericks fan, but I can take the time to be like, good for you guys for really rubbing it in. Because they're the people who look like they won. Like, I'm sure they look like they won. And I would be so pumped if I had Luka as well.
There'll never be another trade in the history of sports this bad.
You know what, Mike?
A 25-year-old for,
I don't know,
a first-round pick 4 years from now. And
yeah,
a dude who can't stay healthy. Like, you would have got 8 first-round picks from somebody. Now, I know that the Mavericks didn't want 8 first-round picks. They wanted a 3-year window and then go into Crapville. But, I mean, good luck, Nico.
We're going to talk a little bit about this in the C-block today, Kevin. But Howie Roseman, did you hear what he said about their team next year?
Did he say unconventional moves?
Yeah. He said, we're going to, and I'm asking y'all for patience as a fan base. Look, we just won the World Series. And it's going to be different. And we're going to do things a little unconventional from what everybody else would expect. And I think he's earned the right to do that.
Sure.
He just won a World Series.
The Eagles.
Howie Roseman.
They won the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Did he say World Series? Is my brain going crazy?
Ooh, maybe I did. Maybe.
Okay, that's why I was like, wait. Okay.
But they just won.
Did you not hear about that?
I was like,
yeah. They just won. And he's like, we're going to be a little unconventional. And it's preparing the fan base for something's going to be different that you might go, hold on, why the crap? But I just won you a damn Super Bowl, so trust me, right? And Nico had that goodwill where he was making moves that you were like, wow. But then when he hit you with this stunner, he didn't have enough of the goodwill built up to do something this drastic and this big. And he didn't ask us for permission before he did it either. And that's a thing that I think fans are frustrated about as well.
I think that you should trade Jalen Hurts for Aaron Rodgers and maybe get a third-round pick back. But not third-round pick soon, like in about 3 years, a third-round pick. I think that would be unconventional.
We'll see if we can make that happen.
Sounds like a plan.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, what's spring training like for a minor leaguer or non-roster invitee? Plus, maybe we'll talk some more about the number three hitting position next right here on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, 877-881-1053. If you want to get involved in the conversation on the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorney text line or the Twitch or the YouTube. Now, we're hoping to have Marcus Semien today on the show up in the booth.
That is the hope.
We're going to have Kevin Pillar. We already talked with him in the clubhouse. I also talked with John Gray in the clubhouse, and it was pretty cool because he came up to me. We chatted for a minute, and he says probably not today, but tomorrow or Friday, he would love to come up and hang out in the booth as well. So hopefully we will have John Gray too. In the meantime, and Mike, you can break this down however you want, but I wanted to go to you first on this. Mm-hmm. I'm intrigued by the saga or the journey for players who are minor league contracts or non-roster invitees, because like so many of the interviews that we'll end up doing, or a lot of people that we'll end up trying to talk to, are people that are like pretty entrenched on the big league team, but then it's actually a small portion of the people who are actually here. Like, there's way more people here that won't make the team that are going to make the team.
Yeah, I guess there's, what, like 75 guys right now in camp, and there's 26 spots.
Yeah.
So two-thirds of the guys here right now will not be on the opening day roster, approximately.
They'll get those little red tags in their locker.
Yeah, I say, what if it was like the – I remember asking my dad that during the movie Major League. I was like, is that how you get a post-it in your – locker, and then you have to go see the manager, and it's like you see now. I think everybody knows now because you watch the HBO football thing. Yeah, they an assistant coach or somebody like that comes and grabs you and says, "Hey, Skip wants to talk to you," and then you go in, and they're like, "You're screwed, buddy." But for non-roster invitees, it's a good question. But I don't know how many categories. As I go through these, we could look at Sebastian Walcott.
Yes.
So he probably feels very nervous in the clubhouse. Now, I know he was here a little bit last year. He was on the minor league side, and they'd bring him over for a few games here and there to just get him used to a little bit of big league environment. But he's 18 years old. So if let's say you're 18 to 21 and it's your first big league camp and you know that you're just a 40-man guy.
Yeah.
And you're just here because they think you're going to be a future Ranger a year or two from now. You're just in awe. It's like, this is amazing. I watched, when I was 10 years old, I watched Corey Seager in the home run derby in 2017 or whatever, you know, like, I mean, you're just, these guys are your heroes,
right?
And here you are with your heroes in a clubhouse, and then you're trying not to, I think it's changed a little bit now, but you're trying not to make any mistakes in the clubhouse. You want to be almost unheard from and unseen.
What? I know things change over time, and every team is different. Can you give an example or two of like what might be seen as a mistake or your favorite word, faux pas, in the clubhouse?
Oh, gosh. I mean, you're just loud. You're a guy that's like, hey, you're nobody.
Yeah.
Shut your mouth. You know, now that's how it used to be.
Yeah.
And I don't think they do that now, but you can tell, like Sebastian Walcott, you know, you don't really hear the young guys making any noises.
Sure.
They're next to their locker. They're staying in their small space. They're just trying to not upset anybody, not really talk to anybody if somebody wants to talk to them, but they're not going around goofing off and playing games or stuff like that. But I don't know. There's like little things that are kind of silly. I remember because my buddy Dreese might be listening right now, Ryan Dreese. We came up in the Cleveland organization, and at one point he got like custom shoes. Now that wasn't a that was a big deal back then, and it wasn't like super custom. I think he just had like his initials on him and maybe his big league number, and this wasn't in spring training. This was in the major leagues. And like some of the veteran guys are like, oh, look at Dries. He thinks he's big time, like getting a number and name on his shoe or whatever. And I'm like, okay, well, note to self, don't ever do that. You know, like, they're just things you're like, I don't want to mess up. I don't want to do these things. The other thing, too, is let's say you get here, the game ends, and you're the first one if they have food after the game, and you're the first one to grab a chicken sandwich and something. They're like, no. Like, hey, kid, put that down. Or they'll just grab, this is what they used to do. They just grab your plate and throw it in the trash.
They don't even just take the food?
No, they just and be like, hey, you're last. You're first spring training. You let the veterans get their stuff. And then when they're done, you can get your stuff. So I think it's, I don't know, I was never in the military, obviously, but I'm sure that's kind of military stuff, probably.
Some things just, you have to learn.
Yeah. That's your first group. The ones that are like so excited to be here, they're they're not really, they're wanting to make an impression, but they also, you have in the back of your mind, you're not really here to make the team. You're here to get in your work, and you know as soon as first cuts happen, they're probably going to send you to the minor league side so you can start playing in your A-ball, AA, AAA games and stuff like that. Then I'll go to the guys like, let's say, Kevin Pillar.
Yep.
So you guys talked to him today. He's not nervous at all. He knows all of these guys. All these guys, you know him. They might not have friendships or relationships, but everybody knows who Kevin Pillar is. He's been in the big leagues for over 10 years. He's here to get in his work. He's here to try to make the team, but yet he's not going to do anything silly. And what I mean by that is he's not going to hurt himself trying to make the team.
Okay.
He knows how to stay within himself. He knows his routine. He's done this for over a decade. He knows exactly what he needs to do from February to March 25th to be ready for a major league season. And the coaching staff, trainers and everything, they trust him. They're getting to know him. They want him to get in his work, his weights, his cardio, all that stuff. But they're also not going to be on his butt because they know he knows. But let's just say, and I'm sorry I'm not thinking of a guy's name right now, but let's just say you're a 25 or 26-year-old and you haven't made the majors, or you've made it for a few months, a cup of coffee, as they say.
Cole Wynn.
And, well, Cole's a 40-man guy. Okay. This is a guy who was not with the Rangers ever.
Gotcha.
He's been picked up by them on a minor league deal with a major league invite. Small possibility of making the team, but a big-time long shot. Now, you're coming in here, and you want to act like this is the World Series every day.
Yeah.
And they're going to tell you not to. It doesn't matter. I have to. My life is in jeopardy. And what I mean by that is, if I don't impress and I get released, I have to go find another job in my life. My life is over. Everything that I've wanted to do, when we watch these guys, you know, high school kids don't understand this at all. Even my kids who've grown up with a grandfather and father who did this. They don't understand the commitment and work ethic that these guys have. We're here at 7:30 a.m. Guys have already been in the cage doing their work. They're still doing their work. Their obsession with their swing and with everything they're trying to do, you know, they think, oh, I had practice for 3 hours. I'm too tired. There's no way I can do anything extra, you know, in high school or
whatever.
That's
when the real work starts here.
But these guys, they know that they're not going to have a coach come up to them and say, hey, let's go get in some extra swings because you're a nobody. The coaches also know who to work with and who, if they grab them, they'll be like, yeah, I'll work with you if I have some time. But I'm here working with the guys that I know are on the team. I'm also working with the guys like Sebastian Walcott, who I think are going to be major impacts because the organization cares about them. So
not only, not only are you already like potentially behind, you have to work harder to get the help that you might need.
They don't really want to help you because when you're throwing your bullpen, and let's just say I have Jacob DeGrom here, Shlomo right here. and then I have John Gray and Cody Bradford, and it's a four-pack of bullpens, and I'm throwing my bullpen. Do you think Mike Maddux is going to watch one pitch? He might watch one pitch because at that time where he's peeking at DeGrom and Bradford, they're kind of getting back to the mound after throwing a pitch, and I'm lifting my leg to throw a pitch. And he'll peek and look, but he's like, I'm not going to adjust anything he's doing, or I'm not going to say anything to him. I've never had him as a pitcher. I'm not going to have him on opening day, 99% sure. So what you have to do in those moments is you have to blow it out. You have to throw as hard as you can. You have to throw the nastiest slider right then, and you don't even know when he's watching. So that means you're working way harder than Jacob DeGrom is. Not that Jacob's not working hard, but he's preparing for opening day.
Yeah.
You're trying to get somebody to notice you, and it's probably going to happen more in a game. The only way they'll notice you in practice is if you're a half-asser. You half-ass it over to first base on a drill, on PFP, you half-ass it on a bunt drill.
So it won't be a positive thing.
No way you can impress in those things. The only thing you can do is get yourself written off completely.
Now, if you're Corey Seager and you half-ass it, it's like he's just getting his work in.
Right. Right. And so that's...
Well, I saw that in the first inning yesterday.
That's always the toughest guy, because a Kevin Pillar, he knows exactly what he needs to do. They're going to like, hey, do your thing. They're also going to care about him because they know he's a 10-year vet, and probably the front office has let him know, hey, we really want to treat him well.
Yeah.
Because we want him to go to AAA.
Sure.
Like we found out yesterday through Bruce Bochy, he's willing to go to AAA to start the year. So they're like, let's not tick him off by ignoring him. But if we ignore some other dude, I'm sorry, I'm not thinking of names, and I'm glad I'm not, because I don't want to throw it like the guy under the bus, but that guy is like, hey, you only have so much time as a coach.
Yeah.
Concentrate on the guys we're going to have. Concentrate on the guys that we think we're going to have later. And if you have any other extra time, you can give them the extra time. But if you go out as a pitcher today, let's say, and you pitch the seventh inning and you strike out two dudes, 1-2-3, three up, three down, and then the next time you go out there, you come in with a runner on first, and that team's already scored four runs, and you get a ground ball to short for a double play and end the inning, and then you go back out there, and maybe you give up a hit, but you get out of that inning with no damage, another zero on the board. All of a sudden, maybe the coaches that are sitting behind the screen go, hey, we've seen him twice, right?
Yeah.
He's been good both times?
Yeah.
Like, I was like, hey, make sure he's on the board 2 days from now. I want to see him, and let's pitch him in the fourth inning, because we know that we're going to L.A. We know that we're going to the Dodgers camp. We know that they're going to play seven of their nine regulars, right? I want to see him face possibly Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman and Will Smith, something like that. I want to see if he does that against those guys. And then if you do that, now all of a sudden they're like, oh, this one percenter just went up to like a 10%.
Yeah.
Now let's do it again. Let's challenge him again. So those are the guys that have it the toughest in spring training, because they're going all out. And the young guys and the old guys are ones that it's not easy for them, but they get to do their thing.
It's a fascinating dynamic, because we've kind of joked about some of these spring training games. It's like, oh, you just mentioned it, like, hey, maybe the Dodgers are going to play seven of their nine regulars. That feels like a huge game for them, because like a lot of the entrenched players are not out there. But then there's this group of people that like these games could not conceivably be any more important to their career, to their livelihood, and determining the direction of where their life's going to take them next.
Yeah, it's so big, because if you do get released, let's just say you have a bad spring training. You know, I'll talk about Rocker here when I get to Baseball Nuggets, but let's just say that wasn't Rocker. That was the dude I'm talking about, some 26-year-old, six-year minor league free agent. And he goes out that first time. That might be it.
Just with the one shot.
And they're like, hey, throw him in the B game, see if he's any better. But
the book's kind of written on
you. Yeah, it's like, that was it. That was your one chance.
Hearing that, you do hear the buzz if something's going on over there. Because we asked Boch about stuff that happens in the minor leagues throughout the season. What does he say? Yeah, I'm hearing that he's doing this and hearing that. And he hasn't seen it yet, but then he's like, all right, now once you get your shot to be in front of my eyes, you better do the same things if you want that shot again.
And that's always a tough part about in the minor leagues, is you could be having a good 2 or 3 weeks where you're the best pitcher, and then Chris Young comes in to watch Round Rock, and you have a crappy game.
And he's like,
you screwed yourself over for a month, because even though you were the best pitcher on the staff for 2 to 3 weeks, or you could be struggling.
Yeah.
And you go out there and you throw six innings and you strike out 10 dudes and don't give up a run and only give up two hits. All of a sudden, Chris Young's like, hey, I think this dude can help us right now. And it's almost like they ignore the previous three outings.
Because you didn't see that in person.
Yeah, and so they ignore no matter what you did up to that point, unless you are Jack Leiter, Kumar Rocker, they're not going to write you off, and they're not just going to take this one start. But a lot of guys in AAA, that one time those cross-checkers come in, or your general manager, assistant GMs, that's your one time to maybe get back on the map.
I imagine that's got to be a complete mind F, too.
Sure.
Considering you spent your whole life, you know, most of these guys, they were playing T-ball, they grew up in the game, they love the game, they just love being around it. And I know you talked about the livelihood part of it.
Yeah.
But you're going through that thought of, I am having to deal with my livelihood, my future, all these other things, and also that love for the game. You want to try and keep that somehow because you don't want to be turned off by the game and it hurt you. Mike, you mentioned that after your career, it was kind of a, I need to stay away from it for a little bit because it hurts my heart. Yeah. To see the game being played, me not being part of it, knowing I can't be out there. So that's got to be another part when you're going through it and you're just like, I still love this game so much. I know what I'm capable of.
As my wife would always tell me, I know you love this game, but the game doesn't love you back.
Yeah.
And that's the tough part is you do love, yeah. I love this game so much. It's probably unhealthy how much I love this game.
Right.
But you see it, like those guys taking swings at 7:30 in the morning, you know, and then, you know, at 9 o'clock they have their stretch, and then you know, it's an obsession. And if you don't have that obsession, you better be as talented as Josh Hamilton.
Yep.
That's the only way, or, you know, and not that Bo Jackson wasn't a hard worker, or you better be as talented as Bo Jackson because he's not able to practice baseball that much because he's playing football too.
Right.
Like, there's certain guys that can get away without being obsessed about the game and their work, but you better be so talented that you can get away with that.
I really appreciate you opening up about that. I thought you might have a very unique perspective on all of that. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for some baseball nuggets with Mike Pasek.
Well, Rocker pitched yesterday. We'll review it next.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan, live from Surprise. Remember, we're here for Ranger Spring Training, brought to you by ASCO Equipment, your heavy equipment partner since 1960. Also want to shout out the on-time experts, air conditioning and plumbing, same-day service guaranteed. Luckily, we haven't had to do too many injury reports yet, but when we do, they're brought to you by Rhino Shield. And be on the lookout for those confessional videos brought to you by Best Buy Windows and Siding. Now, Mike, I haven't read this article yet, but tell me what you think about this headline. Ostriches, butt cheeks, and relentless energy. How Austin Hedges became an indispensable MLB teammate.
Well, that's awesome. We know about his butt.
Mm-hmm. That's
a lot of butt situations.
That's true. I have not read the article yet. I'll get back to you.
He's going to tat his butt.
That's true.
I think the story was that they would draw a number on his butt.
Oh, yeah.
And he would walk in a jock strap to the meetings, yeah, and it would be the number on his butt. And then he was going to tattoo it, whenever. But
I like it.
I asked you guys. We were near a Dick's Sporting Goods.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to get you guys a jock strap and a cup since I've kicked you in your, you know, privates a lot this time with you.
I am aware.
And so I thought that you guys could walk into the clubhouse with your jock strap and cup over your junk.
How do you think that would go over in the clubhouse? You think they'd like
it? Do they not like Eric and Zach?
Some of them do, some of them do not.
Oh, some of them don't.
Yeah, definitely.
It seems like they were all laughing today.
All right, now it's time for baseball nuggets.
Well, Kumar Rocker didn't do that bad yesterday. If you look at the rest of the game, the Rangers gave up 15 runs on 22 hits.
They got 22 hits? I mean, I know when we were here, it was like 7 runs and 10 hit man.
That was 22?
At
depressing.
The hotel, I'd got done. Like, you got on the treadmill, and then I got on the treadmill, and then I saw a couple getting on the elevator, and I go, you guys stayed for the whole game. And they're like, yeah, we're Royals fans. That was fun.
Yeah.
I was asking, yeah, I'm here covering the Rangers. I was like, that was a long one for Rangers. So the Rangers yesterday, good news. A lot of guys got in their work as they used 12 pitchers in a 9-inning game.
Is that kind of what you want? Like, dead serious. Is that what Bochy wants? No?
No, okay. He does not want to see 15 runs and 22 hits. That is not.
But he was able
to
get a lot of pitchers some work, so I didn't know if that was.
Yeah. Well, Rocker got off to a rough start, and it didn't seem like really anybody could stop the bleeding for the Texas Rangers yesterday. One inning, four hits, four runs, one strikeout. I sat behind home plate and I watched. It is so early. As I was leaving yesterday, Dawson's like, "So what do you want to see from Rocker?" And I said, "Man, it's so early. This is going to be generic, but throwing strikes. I know his breaking ball's not going to be sharp." And Dawson kind of looked at me like, "Why?" And I'm just like, "He hasn't pitched competitively. It's very tough." A lot of the guys who will do well early in spring training on the mound pitched winter ball.
Okay.
Because they just got off of competitive pitching just a month ago or like 6 weeks ago. So they're a little bit closer to game ready because they just came off of competition. I'm not saying
their mechanism's clear.
Yeah, everybody's going to be bad. I'm just saying that it's really tough to be sharp. But he threw the ball, I'm going to say, okay.
Okay, let me ask you a question, because this could have changed the whole thing, and you might be like, no.
Yeah. He touched 98. I know, I saw that.
I mean, that's impressive. If it was the regular season, any chance that second batter gets scooped up by Corey Seager for a double play ball? Because it kind of looked like that play was there for the making.
That was Witt. The only reason I'll say no, not a double play, really is he can fly.
He can.
Now, that being said, are we doing it today, the Corey Seager shortstop deal?
Probably tomorrow.
Okay, well, don't worry. I only have 3 days left.
I know, Mike.
Is Corey's range is not good.
Okay, yeah, I get you.
I think that's a hit in a regular season game.
Okay.
He does not cover a lot of ground. That's one of the things that you live with Corey Seager, which that's why a lot of scouts are saying, well, they're not going to live with that with Sebastian Walcott. Now, Sebastian Walcott's only 18. Right? So he moves better than Seager. Now, Seager on the routine plays, this is what you have to live with. Seager's going to make all the routine plays. He better make all the routine plays because he's not going to have the range to cover other spots in the infield where Lindor, Henderson, Witt, you know, Ellie De La Cruz, they're going to get to that ball. He's not going to be able to. So, when the ball was hit, did Seager make a great effort for that ball? The answer is no. But did he probably see it as like, I don't ever get to that ball.
I gotcha.
So I'm not going to bust my hump here. And he has a lot of leg issues.
I was just curious because, like, I'm sure as a pitcher, you can't help but wonder. Not that he didn't get tagged after that.
Yeah.
But you can't help but wonder, man. Like, oh, man, if we could have flipped a double play there, like, does that totally change my outlook?
I'm with you. You just know. I mean, I know people get mad at me when I do this, but you only have to deal with it for a few more days.
Oh, my God.
It's like when I was here and we had Alfonso Soriano at second base, you knew if the ball was hit to second base, you held your breath.
Yeah.
It was not a premium major league second baseman. He is the best hitter in the game of baseball at second base. But you knew that if the ball was hit to him, it was not routine.
Yeah. Did you expect the first batter to get hit, though, to get plunked?
No, but his breaking ball was inconsistent. So from behind the plate, Rocker would probably tell you the same. About 50% of his breaking balls were solid curveballs, but the other 50% of them, and let's just say, I'll look at his pitch count, it was not low. 74 people pitched. 22 pitches, 14 strikes.
Yeah.
He probably threw, I'm going to guess, 7 breaking balls, and 3 or 4 of them were nice, and then the other 3 or 4, give or take, were not. And then his fastball location, he threw 14 strikes out of 22 pitches, so 8 balls. But he wasn't throwing the ball where he wanted. I did see one changeup he threw, and he pulled it. And what I mean by that is he threw it kind of towards the left-hander's batter's box from his right hand. So he pulled the ball over. And on most changeups you throw, you want the ball staying on your arm side. It doesn't mean you always do, but if you throw it opposite arm side, you want it to have where you see it come back from the outer half of the plate to, let's say, a righty on righty situation where it looks like it could be a ball and then comes back kind of Greg Maddux. Like, I know that's extreme.
Sure.
Grabs the backside of the corner.
Yeah, but he pulled it, and I don't recall him throwing another changeup out of his 22 pitches. But it's fine. That being said, like, I asked Bochy yesterday, I was like, I'll just ask it directly. If you guys are healthy, does Rocker even have a chance to make this team? And look, I thought he was a great answer from Bochy. I like, he's pretty much saying yeah, he has a chance. I'm not going to. There's no reason to kill the spirit of a rocker or a lighter or anybody who's out here starting right now. But if DeGrom, Evaldi, Gray, Bradford, and Malley are healthy, rotation's done.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing. The only way they could win a job is if one of those guys gets hurt or is underperforming so much that they keep them in spring training and say, hey, we're going to put you on the injured list to start off. We're going to give you another appearance here and there, maybe even send you to AAA, not like send you down, but on a rehab start. So you get a few more innings of work to build up your arm or build up your location. But if those five guys are healthy, Kamar Rocker and Jack Leiter are starting the year in AAA. There's really nothing they can do to make the team.
And this is a weird question because I think we all believe like the potential for Rocker is higher right now than Malley and maybe a couple of other guys. But that's what you want, right? Like, I want Rocker and Leiter to go down to the minors to start because that means everybody has stayed healthy, right?
Yes. And the other thing,
and it's
too,
good.
Is
yes, yes.
You want guys to have to earn their spot. I won't mention names here, but a few years ago, Rangers people, I will say, were telling me, you know what really stinks about our organization right now? People think they're major leaguers when they're not. We just don't have 25 or 26 major leaguers in our organization.
Yeah.
Which then these guys come up and they're like, I'm a major leaguer. Well, technically you are. I'm not trying to take that away from the guys that made the major leagues in, let's say, 2021 or 22. But they didn't earn it. They would have like a 5.5 ERA in AAA, and they're like, we don't give a crap. Just send them up. We're so bad. Let's just see if he can get people out. Even though he can't get people out in the minor leagues, we don't have anybody right now and get people out in the majors. He throws at 97. See if it'll work here. And it didn't. If it didn't work in AA and AAA, it ain't going to work in the major leagues over time. Or, hey, this dude's batting 220, but he hit two home runs in the last 3 days in AAA. Just send him up and see if he can hit. We don't have – how many third basemen did we go through between the Adrian Beltre
and
Josh Jung?
Yeah.
And I know Jung has been hurt quite a bit in his career so far. But, like, from Adrian Beltre in 2019 being his last year – I have that right, 2019, because the last year at the ballpark, I'm pretty sure he didn't play at the new ballpark. That 2021 and 22, I swear we went through 12 third basemen in a three-year period.
Right.
And it was just like, well, that's what we're doing now. And now you look at Rocker and you look at Leiter or you look at Cole Wynn or Jacob Latz, whoever it is, they have to earn their spot on the team because the Rangers feel like they have a great rotation. They feel like they have veteran guys in their bullpen. We'll see how well they pitch come regular season time. But I do like that when Rocker and Leiter come back up, it's most likely because they've pitched well in AAA and now there's an opportunity in the major leagues.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, you guys want to keep the baseball vibe going?
Yeah.
All right, let's talk with Kevin Pillar, but also maybe dive in a little bit more about the number 3 spot in this lineup. We'll do it all next right here on The Fan.